Welcome to 20 Minutes with Josh. Now, I know y'all are wondering, like, why he got a show. He ain't play ball. If I did play ball, how much could I possibly watch? So I'm here, first guest, Mr. Stephen A. Smith.
Hold it. First of all, you didn't say nephew, you sorry ass. You didn't say nephew, all right, because you're my nephew. You didn't say nephew, Josh, number one. And number two, you didn't say Uncle Steve.
Ain't that on the show?
Am I not your uncle? Am I not your uncle?
You're my guest now. This is my show.
Go ahead, man. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
No pressure. Top three family members.
Hold it. Pressure?
Yeah. What happened?
Pressure. I don't feel no pressure.
All right, you're gonna feel pressure with some of these answers. Top three family members, excluding your own kids. Go. No, they listening.
Excluding my own kids.
Yeah. I have three. Got four sisters, so somebody got to get hurt.
No, I'm not hurting my sisters. Mm. I'm not hurting my sisters. Mm. I'm picking all four of them, so I don't give a damn what you say. I ain't picking three. That's betraying the family, which is something you need to learn. How I'm going to pick against your mother?
That's how I know I got the tough questions. You can't even answer question number one.
That's right. I'm going to pick against my own sisters?
Pick three.
My little knucklehead.
I count two.
I'm picking four. My four older sisters. Now, excluding my sisters.
Yeah, let's go.
Excluding my sisters, I would say this to you. I love my little niece, Ketora. I do. I mean, I love Nay too. To me, oh, they're wonderful. They're all wonderful. But Ketora, like, to me, is one of mellow. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be all right. You know, Nay is quiet as a mouse. Ain't got nothing to say, nobody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I love her to death. But Ketora has always been, it's like, I don't have to see her much. It's like, the minute I hear her voice, I glow. Aww. When she calls, she always has something positive to say. She always has love to show.
Ketora?
Ketora is, she got a mouth on her. She will go off. I know she get on you all the time. You can't mess with her.
That's why I'm wondering what you're talking about. So you got two left.
I'm going to tell you this too. Jace, that's my little dog right there. Jace, your son.
That's two.
That's your son. It ain't you. You ain't on the list. You take too much from me. I'm not putting you on a list. Okay? You take too much from me. Okay? Damn. They're family members, right? They're family members, you know? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Outside of my sisters.
Outside of your sisters. You cleared up. We know you're scared of them.
You don't know your cousin Ardette well.
Oh, yes, I do.
But Ardette, that's my girl right there.
Outside Ardette.
My cousin, well, she lives in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. Mm. And that's my first cousin. I love Edith, Ardette, I love the whole family. My cousin Carl definitely got love, you know, for him and the whole bit. But she's like Ketora. Mm-hmm. She's like Ketora.
But you know what?
I will say this. I can't answer the question. You got me. Because my cousin Derek, I can't leave him off. Heavy D, I can't leave.
You name four people. That's a flag on the play.
That's a flag.
Three flags. And I get paid at the end of the show. That's one.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you a nickel.
Go ahead. Next question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You've learned to be selective when it comes to answering people that come at you. When do you decide, like, when it's time to take the gloves off? It's not when I text you.
Well, you always want to go at people.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
You know, even though you're crazy, I love you to death because, you know, you're like the son I never had. And you always, always want to fight on behalf of your uncle. You just got to be smart about it. Mm. The problem with me is that I'm not scared to come at anybody. Mm. But sometimes you got to take into account, are you punching down? Being where I'm at, I see cats with coming at me. You've been in trouble with the law. You got all types of salacious stuff in your background. It's like, yeah, I can get at you, but then I feel small because why did I waste my time doing that? There's levels to this. And you know, I got people who used to be in this business that I know they sold their soul. Because they can't get a job. So when you broke, you got a family to feed and stuff like that, a part of me can't blame you for that. So I take that into consideration. Other cats want to use me for Christmas because I'm the gift that gives. So you talk about me, it's going to be more clicks, more profile. Why should I give them that? Right. And then other motherfuckers are just so ignorant that it's like, I look ignorant by even if really, really acknowledging you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you take all of that in consideration. Now, there are times that I'm tempted to show the Hollis in me, right. You know, and you're always tempted to do that. I'm tempted sometime, but you ain't 58. Right. You understand? You not the face of a network. You don't have all of that. And right. So because of that, you don't have people. You got to consider me, which you do, but you don't have corporations to consider. You know, advertisers and sponsors to consider right. And stuff like that. And so there are different reasons and there's timing to everything. But I will confess to you, I would tell you about 30% of the time you're right that I should be going at people more. Yeah. Not 70%, but 30% of the time I listen to you, I go like this. He is right. Yeah. I should go at that cat. Because you tell me to go at everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. The problem is everybody ain't worth it.
Right.
The problem, but in the same breath, you also make a good point when you say, sometimes it ain't about whether or not they worth it. It's about you reminding people who the hell they dealing with. So I do get that part. And because of it, you see a little bit more coming out of me now because I got to give you props where it's due and say, you know, you got a good point sometimes.
Yeah, so, in other words, basically you have to secure the bag so somebody like me will continue to
Because the bag is already secured.
All right.
At least for the next 5 years, my money ain't going nowhere. So I'm good with that. You just still want to be smart. You don't want to be dumb. And not only that, I got bigger fish to fry because this ain't all I'm planning on doing.
All right. Well, that's our money. Correction. But you were recently on 7 p.m. in Brooklyn with Mello where you said you might indulge in a weed.
I've been tempted, man. Yeah. You know, I ain't going to lie. I mean, I've been thinking about Puff in the past.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I ain't going to do it. No. But I will admit, when I see how Mello certain people are, they don't need to be doing it. You don't need to be doing it.
Ooh, me?
Yeah, we both know you have. Shut up. But the point is, you don't need to be doing it. The point is that, you know, you got to remember to tell people the truth about the story as to why I never do anything like that. Because we grew up. And we grew up in an environment where we see all people succumb to that, family, friends, and others. You know, whether it's weed, it's coke, it's heroin, the list goes on and on. We not oblivious to this. We've seen it affect us directly in our family. And so because of that, I've always been one of those cats. I never wanted to be a prisoner to nothing. To me, it's true freedom when I'm alert, cogent. I got all my faculties in order, and I'm sharp as a tack. That's why I don't do it. But I have to admit, I mean, when people talk about what weed does for them and the fact that it's been legalized in about 30 states or something, I have to admit, there have been times that I have been tempted. But if I do it, if I ever, ever do it, and I don't think I will, but if I ever do it, I got to do it with Snoop Dogg.
That was the next question. Who would it be with?
I got to do it with Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
The only other person, and I would say they would be with him, not instead of him, it would be with Snoop Dogg and Bill Maher.
Bill Maher?
Because I promised him if I ever did it, because he always tries to say, well, get it.
He's done it right in front of you.
That's
I feel like you got the second hand.
I got a contact high.
Yeah, exactly.
No joke. Yeah. I really had a contact high. He was smoking weed for 2 hours. Yeah, it got to a point where they're like, how Stephen A. sounded like that? Yo, Josh, I was high.
Exactly.
I was not. I did not have all my faculties in order. Yep. I mean, because I was drinking the Hennessy and Coke, because that's what
that's
I did.
That's my drink. That's your drink.
But
I like
about an hour in, I was like, I don't feel the same. And I wasn't saying I was feeling wrong. I was just like, I don't feel the same.
I don't feel wrong.
This is a different kind of feeling here.
Mm-hmm. Bill Maher.
Go ahead.
He had to stop. So we always debate who's the GOAT. You know, NBA GOAT and stuff like that. In your field, who would you say the GOAT is?
Alive?
Yeah.
I think two names, Howard Cosell. Mm-hmm. I think two names, Howard Cosell, and I think that Brian Gumbel. Brian Gumbel. The late Howard Cosell, of course, Brian Gumbel was like a mentor to me. But for me personally, alive, and not that Brian Gumbel, he's still here, of course, but in the business now, not retired or anything, I think the GOAT is Michael Wilbon. Like Michael Wilbon, do you understand? I've been number one in the mornings for 13 years.
Yeah, PTI.
Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser have had the number one sports show for over 23 years. Michael Wilbon is one of the greatest sports columnists you've ever find. And none of that compares to the person he is. Michael Wilbon is one of the greatest people I have ever known. And he is somebody that I truly idolize and respect so much so that he's one of the few people that can call me on the planet and ask me to do something, ask me to go against my grain. You know, if he wanted me to not say anything about somebody or whatever, not that he would do that, but he's one of the few people that would tell me to do something and I wouldn't question it. And I question everything. But I wouldn't question Michael Wilbon because I trust his soul just as much as I trust his work.
All right. So, you know, with everybody have you like running for president, that's like a running joke right now. So I always tell people like, he's not running for president because I can never see you living in Washington. You love Miami too much.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a valid point.
So you do have a political show. I've been on all your other platforms. Why you ain't bring me on that?
You're not qualified. You're as ignorant as they come to politics.
And you see?
You have never, ever, and you know this is true. And I say this with affection, not with insult. You're not somebody that tries to come across like you know something you don't. I give you a lot of credit for that. You know, hold on to this moment because I'm being complimentary about you more so in this damn episode than I've ever been about you in my life. Because you know what? You know how you get on my damn nerves. I just love you to death. But here's the deal. You've never tried to talk about politics. And that's the one thing that you have to fess up to. I've known you all your life. I've been there since the day you were born. You have never opened your mouth about politics to me. So I would not, and now you, and you crazy, because you'll say anything. You'll say anything, okay? And so the combination of you not proving that you're knowledgeable about something, combined with the fact that you'll say anything, can put lives at risk. I'm not putting you in that predicament. Hell no. Hell no.
You see, I watched the mayoral debate the other day.
Yes, you did.
And what I got to say about that is, so when they have these debates, they ignore our whole demographic, which is 16% of New York City.
Okay.
Young black guys between the age of 24 and 44.
Okay.
So the same way you ignore me, as far as bringing me on your platform, that's the same way we're ignored when it comes to like what they speak about in these debates and stuff.
But I don't
like
ignore. But I don't ignore the issues. I ignore you because you don't speak about the issues. You understand? I'm proud of what you knew. I didn't know you knew that. Okay, because you never said anything about it. But the point is that that's not about speaking to a demographic more so than being related to the plights they suffer from. And a lot of times people think that the plight you're suffering from can only be known if you spoke to somebody. Well, if we make up, you know, 30%, 40% of a population hypothetically, and the analytics show that unemployment in our community is double that in the white community, and the money being funneled in our community is half of what's being funneled into other communities. What do I need to have a conversation with you for? I know you're getting screwed over. The analytics show it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Now, when it comes to issues that you care about, yeah, it would behoove me to talk to those folks directly. Because some people care about immigration more than they care about the economy. Some people care about safety in the streets more than they care about immigration. Some people pair the two together. Others say immigration has nothing to do with safety in the streets. Stop sitting there and labeling, you know, people that are not from this country like they're violent or whatever, trying to engage in a level of xenophobia that some people might bring up. All of that's fair. And those are conversations worth having. But when you're speaking about things from a government perspective, it's all about the numbers. It's all about the numbers. The numbers tell the story because the numbers dictate the money. And when you make sure the money is being funneled in the right direction to the right causes, then a lot of problems get solved.
All right. So, good answer. Last question. When you're
last
on
last question. Yo, man, we got about 10 minutes left. What do you mean last question?
We got 10 minutes left, and this one is going to drag out because I know you. When you're on a date and leaving the spot, give me two songs that's going to help you close the deal. I give you, mine's is One Night Only and Slow Motion by Juvenile.
One Night Only?
Yeah, just because of the.
One Night Only?
You got One Night Only. That's all I have. What about you?
Oh, my God. He said that publicly. You know.
Me personally, I shouldn't say this,
but one of my all-time favorite songs is Dedicated by R. Kelly. Oh, I'm glad his ass in jail. He deserved to be in jail. He deserved to be in jail. I will never be a supporter of R. Kelly because of what he did, what I firmly believe he did. But I will tell you that his music is phenomenal. And R. Kelly, I mean, you know, when I think, I shouldn't really say that because for the most part, I'm always thinking about grandma. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to that song. But then you can switch it and something else could be on your mind
right.
when you're thinking about that song. And that's where comes in. Mm-hmm. And my all-time favorite, believe it or not, I shouldn't say all-time favorite because I'm old school. You know, you're younger, so you ain't going to appreciate the Isley Brothers the way that I appreciate the Isley Brothers. You ain't going to appreciate Teddy Pendergrass the way I appreciate Teddy Pendergrass. You're not going to do any of that. You ain't of that ilk, okay? But Donnell Jones, All About the Sex.
Okay.
Because it's not, he's saying, he should have said the title shit, it ain't all about the sex. Because that's what he says, it ain't all about the sex. Mm. But the title on the song is All About the Sex. But he's saying it ain't all about the sex. Because when he drops the lyrics, oh yeah, that'll close the deal for you. That'll close the deal. Joe, you can't forget Joe and you know, love scene, all of this other. You can't forget Joe and what he brings to the table. That's true. But Donnell Jones, I would encourage any man, when you are with a woman, you understand? Even if you want the sex badly, which we usually do, okay? When you play that song, All About the Sex, listen to the words. Okay. Listen to the words, all right? It's a spectacular song. I love it. Mm. Does it for me.
Well, I may have a new song for you to play or for you to at least add to that playlist.
Which is it?
Griff.
I'll start at your neck, girl, then I'll work my way under.
Ooh.
I'm making you ring, girl, cause I am bringing the thunder.
Like boom. Who the hell is this? A crew of your boys?
Listen now, the Grammy's coming.
A crew of your boys?
That's just me.
You're singing?
She says she's a vegan tonight.
Oh,
you're
Lord.
Gonna have dog.
Will y'all turn this shit off? You gotta be kidding me. Get out of here. That is ridiculous.
Are you hanging on my show?
Yes, it is. Yes, I am. That is really? So we trying to be a singer now?
We trying
to be a singer now. Now, all the stuff you're doing. So what happened to the basketball analyst? What happened to that?
Now we trying to sing. I'm an all-around...
You're a renaissance man?
Exactly.
All right, so what else can you do?
This is what I'm saying. It's almost nothing that I can't. And after they see this show, who knows what happens after this? I might be in a movie. We going to do a movie? Me and you?
Why would I do a movie with you? Movies that the Hollywood calling me ain't calling you.
Oh, now they calling me too.
No, I mean, why are you trying to ride the coattails? Why aren't you doing your own thing?
You can sing?
You know, hell no.
Exactly. I'm the talented one. You went to school and stuff, so you did the hard work for me.
I went to school and stuff. I did the hard work for you to benefit, right?
Yeah, they're not going to question they're not gonna question our credentials when we right next to each other.
Our credentials, so you just want to be right next to
each other.
So give me an example of me in a movie. And what role you would play in the movie compared to what role I would play?
You know, we big fans of Power, so I could see us. You remember when Tyreek?
Which Power?
Tyreek and James
Ghost,
and Patrick,
Ghost,
yeah,
Ghost,
original.
Ghost. When the original. Talk about the original, because you know the spinoffs is Ghost, it's Force with Tommy,
right.
It's Raising Kanan and all of that. That's why I was asking.
So I got a specific scene in my head. Whenever I see it, I think about me and you. Okay. When he goes into James St. Patrick's face and says, teach me the motherfucking game, ghost. Remember that part?
To be a drug dealer.
My
point is this.
What's your point?
You know, Amari Hardwick, that's the phenomenal actor that played Ghost.
Right.
He didn't want his son to be him because he knew the danger that came along with it, the position it would put him in, blah, 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 blah. Right. So he was trying to save his life.
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. But his son, which you know, you just trying to get paid. That's what you trying to do.
I get that from you.
How's that? As hard as I work?
You know how much quotables?
Will you tell the audience just, Josh, all your life you've known your Uncle Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell somebody when I've ever put in less than 65, 70 hours a week?
You're a worker. I'll give you that.
I'm a worker. That's all you're going to say to the answer to my question. That's all you're going to say. See,
when work is going to basketball games chased around and stuff by crowds and stuff.
But that's work. So in other words, all the games I watch, all the studying I do, all the research that I do, the hours that I have to put in on the air when I want to be at the games but can't be at the games because I got to be on radio, I got to be on television, I got to write, I got to research, I got to travel, I got to do all of this stuff. That's all you're going to say.
Do you know that there's bus drivers and people that clean up and sweep stuff and stuff like that? Are you complaining?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
What did I do before I became a sports writer? Did you forget?
Now you had a lot of occupations.
That's right. Con Edison. Yeah. Remember when I was on the roofs of Con Edison substations, you know, painting and putting tars on roofs? Remember when I was cleaning parks in New York City, lying about my age? You weren't born at this time, but I was 14 years old. And I lied about my age so I could get a job at age 14, cleaning up parks throughout New York City. When I was delivering newspapers, I used to deliver the New York Daily News before I wrote for the New York Daily News. I loaded and unloaded 18-wheeler trucks while I was taking 18 credit semester hours in college. You know all this, and you would leave all of that out.
This is why
just
I say
to sit up there and say, just to say, oh, you think going to games is hard? Really?
This is why I say we alike, though, because you lied to get a job, and I lied to get the job done. All right, that's it for this week with 20 Minutes with Josh. And we're going to leave him shaking his head. I knew I was going to do that. And I'm going to walk off. Happy Halloween, everybody.
I'll start at your neck, girl. Then I'll work my way under.
We're crazy.